You know, St. Francis of Assisi saw all of creation as a sanctuary, and it's funny that as we were singing that and we had a lot of backup, I was just reminded that, wow, talk about creating a new kind of sanctuary. So everybody gets a coloring page to take home, and you all are working on this, right? Do you know who St. Francis was? No? All right, I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to brag about one of my kids first. Okay? I'm right here. Not that one, a different kid. There's a kitty cat in the house. Two? Yay! Oh, nice. Wow. Kitty cat slapped zebra. Wow, that's amazing. You missed it because we started with David playing the theme from Cats. So we'll have to close out with that too. I know, I'm right here. So when my son, oh, beautiful, yay. Let's do this every week. No. When my son was about 10 years old, he was completely taken with hummingbirds, like completely taken with hummingbirds. We used to have a feeder that sat right outside the deck door. And he decided one day he was going to touch them. I'm like, dude, I really think that's awesome. But that boy went out, and he stood up underneath that feeder. And we'd have about maybe a dozen that would swarm around. And those, you know, the Rufus that would come and and he just stood like this with his finger right there until he could finally get one that would let him rub its belly. And then the next one came, and he moved over and rubbed that belly. And then the next one came and just sort of landed on the tip of its finger while it drank. And I'm thinking, what is going on that kid is allowing? He had the most patience and just this calm when he was out there, and all he cared about was just touching them to the point where they got used to him being out there. Now, I would go out there and go, oh, cool. But he had it. He had it down. And I thought of St. Francis. Does anybody really understand or remember or know the story of St. Francis? Do you? Okay, so tell me what I'm going to tell you about St. Francis. So let me just remind you that my name is Claire Francis. So I'm pretty sure that's where you were going with that, Deborah. Francis was born in the 12th century, and he was born in Italy, Assisi, to very, very well-to-do parents. And his dad was actually an Umbria cloth merchant and was very well-to-do. And he was a playboy. Francis liked to go out and have a good time. Not necessarily inappropriately, like St. Augustine, but he liked to have a really good time. And he'd spend lots of money, and he was known to be, you know, the kind that would just charm the ladies. And he just embraced that life. And then he went to war with some of his friends and ended up spending a year in prison, during which time he had a whole lot of time to think about who God was and who God was to him. Now, when he came back after his parents paid ransom for him, it was assumed that he would pick up where he left off. And he tried. He tried that. And it was assumed that he would also follow in his father's footsteps and become another rich merchant. But he was having a really hard time and seemed really kind of dysphoric and not really sure what he wanted to do. And after a while, he thought, oh, I don't know if I want to do this life. And of course, his parents were disappointed in him, of course, because, you know, kids don't do what their parents want, right? And as a result, they started to get very annoyed with him. Now, there was one point where he came across a church in his town that was dilapidated. And he couldn't understand why that church was so dilapidated. It shouldn't be. So he went to his father's shop and borrowed a whole lot of expensive cloth, sold it for under cost, went back to the church, handed the priest the money, and said, fix the church. Of course, his father dragged him in front of the bishop and said, he needs to pay it back, at which point Francis said, no, because I don't really need anything. I don't need my inheritance. I don't need to be a merchant. I don't need anything except God. That sort of moved him towards this transformational experience. And the real transformational experience came when he was riding a horse and came across a leper, which had terrified him. And he did what most people would do, which is turn the horse around and started to go. And he goes, wait a minute. If I am truly living into the life that I believe God is calling me to, which is to be empty of all fear and all things that distract me from the divine, what am I doing? And he turned the horse around, got off the horse, took his coat off, and gave it to the man, and then kissed him. Now, there are a lot of other stories that are along with St. Francis, most of which are chalked up to legend. Those two carry, when you read any author that writes about them, saying, according to history, so, you know, you can take that for what it's worth. But the most primary legend as it pertains to animals was that Francis heard about a wolf that in the middle of the winter was making its way into the town to eat all the other animals because it was hungry. Things got really sketchy when it started to go after people. And of course, the townspeople wanted to do away with the wolf. Francis figured out that the animal was just hungry. And so he struck a deal between the wolf and the townspeople. And the deal was, Mr. Wolf, if I can get them to promise to feed you every day, will you stop killing their livestock and attacking them? And the wolf agreed. And then he went to the townspeople and said, so here's the deal. The wolf will stop attacking you if you take it in and take care of it so that it doesn't starve. And the townspeople agreed. And they lived in harmony until the wolf died of old age. It's these types of stories, whether they be pure history or that of legends, which help us to understand who Francis was and how he viewed the world. He gave up everything he had, right down to his clothes, and wore, I know, right? Practically nothing. She wants to talk about the wolf again. And continued to live a life of poverty and suffering and pain and joy. And the whole purpose of Francis, and to understand him as one who would go out to preach to the animals in nature, was to recognize that for him, he had removed all of those things that took him away from knowing God. So when we read about him and we wonder whether or not the animals really come and sit on his lap and sit on his shoulder, well, I tell you what, after looking at my kid, who is no Francis, by the way, but, you know. And the ability to empty oneself, to be present in the moment in order to connect with something greater than himself. If my Josh did that, we can all do it. And clearly Francis sets that tone for us and helps us to understand that as precious as we see that we are to the divine, so is all creation. Just as precious. And so this isn't just a fun or funny time to have all of our critters in here, but it is a time to remind us of how blessed we are when we have this part of creation in our lives. Let the people say, amen. So here's what I'd like to do. I would like to come around to each critter. And if you could tell me their names. And the blessing is going to be this. loving God, bless this creature,